Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It's always an excitement and joy to be in the house of God. And for those of you online, I'm sure you're excited to come back. We are soon going to open Saturday, January 1st, 5 p.m. and Sunday, 2nd January, 9:30 a.m. We're going to have physical service. You can come and enjoy the presence of God together with everybody here. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know that worship team just hanging there. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay, in the past few weeks, we have been preaching on preparing ourselves to move into year 2022 spiritually before we actually go into the year 2022. And so we've been preaching to prepare us so that we can move in before we actually find ourselves in 2022. So we've been preaching messages, and yesterday we had Pastor Sebas. He preached a powerful message on how to keep your fire going. See, it's not enough to be on fire, but it's important to keep that fire going until Jesus comes or He calls us home. Amen. And this morning, my message, the title of my message is Rekindle the Fire of Your First Love. Rekindle the fire of your first love. This is something we have experienced in such a powerful way. And some of us at one time or another, we have like gradually, you know, we have lost it somewhere, somehow. And so this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to remind us, and God wants us to come back to that fire of His first love. And the text today is Revelation chapter 2 and verses 2 to 5. Can I have it on the screen so that I can read it? Okay, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Let's just pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your presence in this place. And Lord, we pray that you will anoint every word that I speak. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you will stir within us and you'll fan the flame that's within us, Lord, for that first love, that we will come back to that place of that first love. Lord, I pray that even as I yield myself to you, you will use me, Lord, to minister to each and every one of us here. And we thank you, Lord, and also those online. We give all glory and honor to you. I surrender myself to you for your use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, now this passage that I just read just now is a letter from Jesus to the church at Ephesus. Okay, and you see here that Jesus actually is reprimanding this church because they have lost their first love. But you see, God is such a good God. You see that the letters that He has written to the seven different churches, if you read it carefully, you see that before He rebukes anybody, He always will encourage and commend them. And so this is what He did in verse 2. You know, He commended this church, you know, saying, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And I know your perseverance. And you have not grown weary. See, so He commended this church. And then the bombshell came. Because the people thought, oh, wow, we are so great, so good. God is so pleased with what we are doing, our works and everything that we are doing, the labors and the labor of love and everything they're doing. The people, probably when they heard this part of the letter, they were pleased with themselves. And then in verse 4, the bombshell came. Nevertheless, I have this against you. that you have lost your first love. See, here you see that, you know, this church looks like a happening church. You know, everything is going well. You see that they're working day and night. They are laboring, probably winning souls and discipling people and helping people, feeding the poor and all the activities. They are so active. They seem to be so alive. And yet, Jesus said, you have lost your first love. And then you also see in verse 3, it tells us, it tells us that Jesus is saying that, you know, that the people are actually doing all these things, all these activities and everything that's going on, they're doing it for the sake of the name of Jesus. So if they're doing it all in Jesus' name and they're doing it all for Jesus, so what's the problem? Why is Jesus saying that they have lost their first love? You see, Jesus is obviously not looking at the outward things. He's not looking at the external things, how many cell groups we can lead. He's not looking at how many activities we can have, going to the villages, feeding the poor, all these things. He's obviously not looking at all those things, but he's looking deeper. He's looking at us and he's looking into our hearts. This is what he's looking at. He's not interested in how much money we can give into the ministry. He's not looking at all that. All that is important. I'm not saying it's not important. But the main thing and the most important thing is he's looking for your heart. What he's really looking for is he's looking for relationship. He's looking for your friendship. He's looking for your companionship. And he's looking for that intimacy that he wants with you. He wants us more than what we can do for him, no matter how wonderful it may be what we are doing. Right now, I'm going to ask the worship team to sing that song, A Heart of Worship. And I want you all to just close your eyes, those online and those who are here, and allow the love of God to fill you afresh. That first love, when you first heard, and when you first knew, and when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, that amazing love that you experienced, I want you to experience it as we sing this song. And let's give our hearts back to Him today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
See, when the music,
when the music fades, when all is stripped away, when I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for once again rekindling that first love in our hearts. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. Come, Lord. Lord, that we will repent and we will return to you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just surrender the rest of this time into your hands, that you will speak deep into our hearts. Yes, Lord. And you'll do something new in our lives. You will transform us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's move on to verse 5. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. It says here, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, in all the other scriptures that we have seen, it always reminds us, like Isaiah 43 verse 18 and 19 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. But this one time, it says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. So you need to go back to that place where you have fallen. You've experienced, that means it tells us that we have experienced that awesome first love. The day when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, that awesome love, that amazing love that you cannot exchange it for any other love. I'm sure it is still alive in you when you look back and you remember when you first received Jesus, how it was, how you were so excited about Jesus, how excited about his love for you. No one can love you like the way he loves you. You've experienced that. And so before we go back to where we have fallen, I want to remind you the way the Lord has loved us. I want to remind you of that first love. I want to remind you of that fire of that first love. It was really an encounter. You know, it was really an encounter of his love in our hearts. That's what caused us to give our lives totally to him. We didn't think of anything else. We didn't want to hold back anything because we know Jesus gave himself, all of himself, out of all his love, he gave himself to us. And so we likewise have to do the same thing, and we were so ready to do that because we experienced his awesome love. Now I'm going to share with you 5 different kinds of love that we experience at salvation. Number 1, his agape love. It's an unconditional love. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He didn't think that, oh, these people are sinning, you know, how can I die for them? No, it was an unconditional love. A love that, you know, once you experience that love, I'm sure many of you experience this, that when you experience this unconditional love, you just felt that you don't need any other love. Because the love of God, the agape love of God, is a complete love. It makes us whole. It makes us complete. You know? And so, this is the kind of love that he has given to us. And so this is the love that we need to come back to. See, when the love of God filled our hearts with that agape love, I'm sure you experienced that same kind of love that filled your heart, you wanted to love others that same way. You gave of yourself. You didn't think of what they will do to you, whether they will take advantage of you, but you loved them with that unconditional love because the love of God filled our hearts. The second kind of love is his sacrificial love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, he did not hold back his one and only son for us. Can you imagine? We sinned. We did the wrong. We did all that, the things that hurt him. And yet, He was so sacrificial with His love that He chose to send His Son for us. Instead of saying each one of you have to die on the cross for your sins, He said, no, I will save you from that and I will send my Son in your place. I'm sure when you heard that and you felt that, you cried the day when Jesus came into your life. That someone would sacrifice his life to that point to die for us. Even if we are drowning, the person next to us will always think of saving themselves first. But look at Jesus. He did not think of saving his son from going to the cross, but he sent his son so that we can be saved. Hallelujah. Another scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he made who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this is his sacrificial love to us. See, Jesus had no sin, but he put our sins on him and he went through that painful, difficult experience of the cross for our sake. Awesome. Isn't that awesome? His love is an awesome love. And thirdly, is his forgiving love. His forgiving love. In Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke 23:34. Can I read that to you? Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. You see, the painful cross that Jesus went through, he was spat at and they beat him and his skin was bleeding all over, and all that they did to him made him carry that cross, that heavy cross. It was so difficult for him. It was such a struggle. And yet, he was willing to forgive them. That forgiving love. If we were in that place, we would have all this bitterness, unforgiveness, and everything in our hearts and say, wait, when I come out, I know what to do with you. But Jesus did not do that. You know, he chose to forgive them. He said, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, so that love, that forgiving love, and that love that filled us at the time of our salvation, I'm sure you experienced this. That no one could offend you at that time, because the forgiving love of God was in your life, and whoever did anything wrong to you, it was so easy to forgive, because you always thought, if Jesus can forgive me for all I've done, who am I not to forgive my brother, forgive my sister? And so that's that love, that forgiving love, this is the love that he wants us to come back to, that first love. This is the sacrificial love that he wants us to come back to. He wants us to come back to that agape love, that we will look at others with that same unconditional love. The next one is the transforming love. 1 Corinthians 13, the famous scripture on love, 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 and 5. It's the life-changing love. The life-changing love that came into our lives that changed us. Many people who were drinking and smoking and they were on drugs, when they experienced this love, this transforming love, their whole life changed. They were never the same again. This is the amazing love. The amazing love of his transforming power. He transformed us. He changed us from what we were before. And what we are today is what he has done in our lives. There's nothing for us to boast, because all that we are today is what he has done in our lives. Praise the Lord. And then the last one is his generous love. He gave his love generously to us. See, he loved us and he gave that generous love to us so that we will be generous with his love to others. Because he wanted us to be a witness. You know, this lady, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. The moment she experienced that love, the moment she experienced that generous love, you know, Jesus was a Jew, she is a Samaritan, they're not supposed to meet, but he was generous in his heart that he even ministered to a Samaritan. And so she, with this love, she took it back to the village and really shared that generous love to the whole village. And everybody came to know the Lord, came to know Jesus. See, this is His amazing and generous love that He has given to us. And in Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This power of His fire, the love of the fire of the love of God, the fire of His first love. We have experienced it, and we need to keep that fire going. Now, if you missed Pastor Sebastian's message yesterday on how to keep the fire going, go to YouTube and listen to it. You will be blessed. How we should keep that fire going. So God wants us to continue in this love. Come back to that love. And in John chapter 15 and verse 5, He tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. See, so this is something we must always remember, that if we don't abide in Him, all that we do for Jesus is no use. Because He's not looking for what you can do for Him. He's looking for you. He's looking for your heart. He's looking for your relationship with you. And so, we must remember that abiding presence is so important. That daily, it should be a consistent abiding presence that you will flow through with Him every day. And you will hear from Him. You'll receive from Him. You know, and here, if you see this fire, you know, the fire that's burning within us, that love, that first love that was burning within us when we first met Jesus. You see this in Luke chapter 24 and verse 32, when after the resurrection, the disciples were going to this village called Emmaus. You know, and on the way there, Jesus was walking with them, and He was talking, and they were explaining to Jesus all that has happened. But they did not recognize it was Jesus. But they experienced a burning in their hearts. And later, when Jesus disappeared, then they realized, hey, did not our hearts burn within us? Then they realized, oh, there was a burning in our hearts as long as Jesus was with them. And so in the same way, our fire of that first love need to be burning continuously as we abide in Him, as we keep walking with Him, as we include Him in all that we do, daily, throughout the day, whatever we do. And as we come back to Revelation 2:5, it says three things there. Number one, He says, remember from where you have fallen. And then secondly, it says, once you know where you have fallen, you need to repent. When you repent, when you say sorry, you turn away from those things. You turn away from it. And then, thirdly, it says, return to that first love. So these three things are very important. So what are we actually looking at? What is it that we are wanting to experience in this first? And He says, do the first love. Come back to your first love and do the first works. What are these first works? The moment you experience Jesus as your Lord and Savior, experience all the different kinds of love that I've shared with you just now, what did we do? We wanted the presence of God. We kept going into the presence of God. And this is what we need today. We need a fresh anointing of the presence of God in our daily lives. In our corporate meetings, we need the fresh anointing of the presence of God. There must be a new desire for God. When you come back to the first love, you need a new desire for the Lord. You need a new hunger for the Word of God. You need to crave to come to see, to read the Word of God and hear a Rhema word for that day. You know, each day. Because He is alive. He speaks to us every day. So we need to come to Him and see a new hunger and a fresh anointing of the fire of His love in our lives. A fresh anointing. How do we do that? How do we experience that? we come afresh into the presence of God. And as the Lord has given us His heavenly language, as we begin to pray in the Spirit, the stirring of the Spirit takes place, the stirring of His love, the stirring of miracles, the stirring of all that is in His presence begins to take place in our lives. And so we need to be stirring it up and fanning the fire of His love in our lives on a daily basis. This is what we need. And here, a new desire. You see, now, sometimes it's easy to say, sometimes it's easy for us to preach and say, yes, repent, return to your first love. But I know many times, personally, even I've experienced many times, you say, yes, you want to come back to that kind of love. You want to come back to that place where you were when you first came to know Jesus. But yet, as much as you have a desire, it's not the same. You feel it's not the same. You know, and so you keep striving at it. But the Lord says, don't strive. He's been there always. We are the ones who've gone away. And so I want you to picture Him today with His arms wide open. Say, come back to that first love. My love is still overflowing into your life. And so this is what we need to do. It starts as a desire. If there is a desire in your heart to come back to that first love, that is the first step. And as you have the desire, the next thing is you need to put it into a discipline. A consistency in coming. It may look like it's a routine and you are doing it religiously, but no. When you take that step of from your desire to discipline yourself to just come into His presence, whether you feel Him or not doesn't matter. Whether you're hearing Him, it doesn't matter. He just wants you to consistently come and give Him that time. And when you begin to do that, you find that there's this determination in your heart. I want to encounter God. I want to come back to that first love. And I want to do the things that I did when I first came to know the Lord. How you used to be on fire. And I'll walk miles to just share the gospel with someone. And those times, I was not so bold even to share the gospel. All I did was I used to walk miles from my house to another area further from my place just to invite somebody to go to church with me. Go to the youth meeting with me, and they got saved. You know, and it's so amazing that I couldn't even preach. I couldn't even tell them. You know, I was so shy to say these things. Not shy, but just, you know, I was so timid that I wouldn't say. All I did was to walk miles. That was the love, the first love that was in my heart, that I would walk miles. That time I didn't have a car. That time I would not, it was this area that I was walking to, there's no buses. And so I used to walk just to bring someone to the house of God to get saved. So I'm sure you can remember those things that you have done when you first accepted Jesus as your Savior. So the Lord wants us to return to that. And so with that desire that goes into a discipline and you determine to have an encounter with the Lord, sitting at His feet, finally you will experience that delight. You'll once again enjoy His presence like you've enjoyed from the first day. And you will begin automatically, you'll begin to arise and do those works that you have done before. Preaching, sharing with others. I used to go and sit at the bus stop and wait for someone. And like I said, I was so timid initially. I used to just have a track with me. I'll have tracks with me. And before they get into the bus, I just give them the track and say, read this. And at the back, there's the contact of my church, you know, and the name of the pastor. And so I said, if you need any help, please call. You know, that's what I used to do. So I used to do things like that. And when I'm reminded today, I say, we need to come back to that burning passion to win souls. Because we love Him. Because He has done so much for Him and for us. And you see, we are in the last leg of the last days. We know the coming of Jesus is so near. We see through the circumstances from the pandemic and the things that are happening around us, what's happening in Israel, whatever we are seeing, we see that it's all pointing to the coming of the Lord. You will either see the coming of the Lord or the Lord will call you home before that. So both ways, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We cannot take things lightly. We cannot be complacent anymore. We cannot say, tomorrow I will do it. No, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you will experience the love of God once again. The first love that will come into your heart once again. That you will go out of this place and never be the same again. That you will be on fire for the Lord. The fire of the love of God will burn within you day and night, night and day. And you will get yourself into His presence to be filled every day. So that you will overflow in that love. And as you overflow in that love, you can imagine if every one of us had that love deeply and burning in our hearts, what will happen? Many, many souls will come to know the Lord at this time. And our lives are changed, transformed. People who look at us, sometimes you don't even have to witness. Your life transforms others because they see Jesus in you. Many times it's like that. So this is what I'm wanting to say this morning. And I want to close with this, that each one of us take stock of your life. Come before God. I heard a message which says, wake up, look up, clean up, and be ready. It says that. So we need to wake up. We need to wake up from our slumber. We need to wake up from not reading the Word of God. We need to wake up from not praying and not spending time in His presence. Yes, we need to look up to Him. There's no one else we can turn to. He is the only one. Actually, the pandemic has shown us this again and again. You can't look at anything. You cannot go to the right. You cannot go to the left. You cannot go to the back. There's only one way. You only have to look up to Him and trust Him, believe in Him, and He protects us, He keeps us, He watches over us. You know, He looks up at us. And then He says, and then the next thing is clean up. Clean up your lives, the areas that need to be put right once again. God is just wanting us to do that. And so this is what I will end with right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I want each one of you not to just take this message as a message just for today. But I pray that this message will have a lasting effect upon our lives until we see Jesus face to face. Let's stand together. Let's worship the Lord together and allow the Lord to do something new in our lives. A fresh new anointing of the first love of God in our lives. That we will continue to be loving Jesus. We'll continue to be learning from Jesus. We'll continue to be knowing Jesus. And we will continue to serve Jesus. And we can become more and more like Jesus. That's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking at your heart. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.